Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to Creative Control. While I have you here, please consider supporting Youth Empowerment and Support Services, otherwise known as YES. Based in Edmonton, Alberta, YES provides immediate and low-barrier overnight and day shelter, temporary supportive housing, and individualized wraparound supports for young people aged 15 to 24. They work collaboratively within a network of care focused on the prevention of youth homelessness by providing youth with the necessary supports to stabilize their housing, improve their well-being, build life skills, connect with community, and avoid re-entry into homelessness. Learn more about how to donate or otherwise support YES by visiting yess.org.
This is Dmitry Samarov from Chicago, Illinois. And I love listening to Vish Khanna's Creative Control because whether he's talking to a favorite musician or actor of mine or someone I've never heard of, it's as if he's introducing me to a new friend. And the way things are going, couldn't you use a new friend? Listen now.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today.
Chad Van Galen is a creative musician, filmmaker, animator, visual artist, producer, and songwriter from Calgary, Alberta. Over the past 15 years, Van Galen has earned a reputation for being one of the world's most unconventionally fascinating artistic forces via his critically acclaimed albums, his meticulously made illustrations and animated films, and his weirdo, sort of freeform live performances. His latest album is a great and wild one called World's Most Stressed Out Gardener, which was released on March 19th, 2021 via Flemish Eye Records in Canada and Sub Pop Records across the rest of the universe. Chad returns to this show for, I believe, the fourth time, this time to discuss what it's like for both of us to live in Alberta, the winter weather and gardening, eagles, beavers, coyotes, rabbits, and horses, super recycling and making folk art, human beings and ecological collapse, new music, and world's most stressed out gardener, future plans, and more. Part of the Entertainment One Network, with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol, with additional support from Blackbird Music, a well-stocked record store with locations in Edmonton and Calgary, and friendly staff who will happily help you source special orders for hard-to-find titles, all of which you can learn more about at blackbird.ca, and Massey Hall's concert film series live at MasseyHall.com, where you can stream dozens of 30-minute films for free, including performances by past and extremely recent podcast guests like Chad Van Galen. Plus, in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. This is the 602nd episode of Creative Control, featuring my new best friend in Alberta, Chad Van Galen, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. It's totally indestructible, but it's also on loan from a friend. You got something in your throat there? Right. Oh my god. Chad, are you okay? Oh man. What are these? Exercises? Are these some sort of warm ups you're doing? I just wanted to say hello and I was not expecting all of that. Are you okay?
Oh yeah, I'm fully fucking fine.
How's it going?
It's going, I mean, it's like an existential daily thing and exercise. But yeah, it's relatively good. I mean, I don't know what to even say to that anymore. I just give a thumbs up and kind of wiggle my thumb like, yeah, come see, come saw, you know, that thumb sign that everybody gives now. At least I think that's what they're, maybe that's not even their thumb. Maybe they're just telling me to go fuck off.
They might just want you to give them a ride somewhere. Have you ever thought of that?
Hey, Jesus Christ.
They're just hitching. You're ignoring them. Ignoring them completely.
Oh, God. Now I'm not doing good.
Man. Now you know why they're not returning your calls later. Oh. He ditched me. I wanted a ride.
I'm on a unicycle most of the time, so that would be pretty impossible.
Put people in your lap on the unicycle and hitch them around. Yeah, that's what they want. Man.
You do not want to be in my lap right now. It's disgusting. It's a fucking mess.
I assume you are in Calgary, Alberta, yes?
Yes.
Yes. And did you know that I'm not that far from you now?
I know, I feel close to you. I'm glad that you've been added to the Alberta roster, man. It's just...
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know, man. Nobody moves here.
So, nobody moves to here. Yeah, most people move away.
Most people. It's always like an exodus of folks that I like. So it's always nice when somebody moves here that I like. You know.
Well, I appreciate that. Why do you suppose people leave Alberta as opposed to moving to Alberta?
Crazy.
What's your perspective?
Alberta's crazy. Fucking. I mean, I don't get me wrong. Like, born and raised here, love the Rockies, love the foothills. Fucking beautiful place to be. Don't ever take it the wrong way. Like, that's, I love it here, but it's fucking cold. Like, fuck winter.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to be here. It's like, it just environmentally insane. Like, I have to, you know, heat my house and burn the fossil fuels and drive everywhere. Like, when you live in Calgary, it's like you gotta have a car. So I mean, you don't have to, unless you're just like one of those. I know a lot of tough people that ride their bikes all year round. Yeah. I used to before I had kids, but I mean, that's like a, you know, you're putting years on your life at the same time that you're taking them off. So I guess it equals itself out, but man, it's,
you stopped riding a bike for fear you would be decapitated by a vehicle.
No, just when I had kids, I had to drop them off at school and events and stuff like that. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, for people that don't have to worry about that, that's fine. But I got two kids now, and so I have a car, and I'm one of those people. Like, you know, you make promises to yourself when you're a kid, like you're going to do well for the planet, and then you have kids, and you're just like, well, that went out the fucking shitter. It's like, that's gone. Not, that dream is gone now.
Well, I don't want to...
I deserve to burn in hell like everybody else now.
I don't want to Bill Maher this conversation, but having children in itself...
is horrifying. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in terms of ecological responsibility, making more people... I had this conversation with my wife at one point. I'm like, I'd like to have children. But at the same time, when you think about it, I know why we're doing it. Not doing it. I didn't mean to get graphic. But right. I know why we want to have children. But at the same time,
I can see you right now, just like long silence. And then you just like, I know why we're doing it.
It's my pillow
and
talk.
And then silence. Yeah, and then another absolutely. 45 yeah. minutes of silence.
I think this place is a bit confusing to me. Yes, we moved here, and then the politics is very strange. Like people said, you're going to move there. You're fleeing. Partially where we were fleeing the Doug Ford situation, right? The Conservative Party in Ontario. But then we moved to a place that I don't exactly know what it stands for, but I'm pretty sure it's the ultra-conservative party, the UCP, right? It's this super ultra-conservative party.
Yeah.
And so that might have been a mistake. But do you think people...
They're not quite white nationalists, but they're like... I mean, I don't want to get political about this, but yeah, fucking Nazis. Like, there's like real living pieces of shit living here. And so it's... And they're making the decisions about how we all die, basically.
Yes. So that is a problem. Like, that to me is a huge issue, and I'm wrestling with that. But what I wanted to say, though, is just prior to them, NDP. So, arguably one of the most left-leaning parties in Canada was replaced by the most right-leaning, uneducated party. I mean, led by a dude that doesn't seem to be very enlightened. And I don't want to get too political either, but I'm just saying
it
went the other way. So, but then that is kind of my assessment of things here generally. I don't know if you feel this, Chad.
Oh, the swinging door?
Yeah, like kind of wishy-washy, indecisive, and then like then just like the poles widely swinging between polarities of like this and now we're this, or why don't we all go do this? You know what? I changed my mind. I don't want to do this. I feel like there's a lot of that in my daily life here now, and I don't know if it's a symptom of weather. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe people are just so bogged down by the elements that they can't commit to anything, because who knows what it's going to be like if we commit. Does that resonate with you? Have you encountered this?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's a combination of a lot of things, like the internet. Everybody's sort of really self-absorbed these days with their own, digital lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're maybe... less contact, especially like it already gets pretty like insular in the winter times in Alberta.
Yeah.
Regardless of a pandemic or not, like you're just like, yeah, I can't drive there. It's minus 35 and the roads, I would die.
Yes.
And so there was already that. And then, this on the pandemic on top of it. And then just, this sort of heavy right political environment. I don't know, man.
On the rare occasions I venture out, I will see like a Make America Great Again hat, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Well, this doesn't even make any sense. Like, where I'm in Edmonton, like that shouldn't even be happening. Or the other one now is Make Canada Great Again. So yeah, this is stuff. Like I lived in like super righteous Guelph, right? Like if there's a vacuum town,
it was
that, you're not going to encounter that. You're going to encounter people with like farmers markets hats on,
And, yeah, totally. Hey, everybody seems to be pretty peaced out.
Yeah, so it's different. It's different over there. And so that's where I came from. And then I came here. And it's very weird. And so that's what I'm kind of wrestling with now. And I wondered if you... The notion that, like, you are generally, as a people, locked down because of the elements.
Yeah.
I say we because I'm now part of it. Are we better conditioned for the lockdown, self-isolation life? Is that what you're saying? Like, we're kind of... prepared to spend a lot of time inside with our families because it's so cold outside?
I think so. I think, yeah, or else we're better outfitted, like literally with jackets and gear.
Right.
I mean, we spend a ton of time outside, so, that helps to have snow pants. That would be my recommendation.
Snow pants are great.
Get the bib snow pants. and get the boots with like the extra insulation in the grip so you don't freeze from the feet up, and then you can hang out with your friends outside. It's totally awesome. Yeah. But I always get, you know, there's a couple people, you know, we'll all be hanging outside, and then you see the person with like the duck boots on, and then you're like, oh, you're fucked, man. You're out of here in like 15 minutes. And then they started like walking on the spot, and then you're just like, oh, you're so fucking done. You're out of here. And then they're like, oh, I'm out of here, man. I'm frozen. And you're like, yep.
That there's that too. There's like a weird hardiness that doesn't really mesh with logic. My wife, it was like minus 35 the other day. She's like, I think I'm going to go for a walk with my dad. Do you guys want to come? And we were all like, what? It's minus 35. Why would you do that? You're just going to complain about how cold it is as soon as you get out there. She's like, yeah. No, it'll be fine. And she did it. And, you know, they didn't complain as far as I wasn't there. But there's
and
that
she
too.
Looks, she like, looks. She probably looks really sexy with like the tip of her nose being black. That's cool.
Well, yes.
Like with
yes,
the rotten with the rotten flesh. That's all right. You well, sacrificed the tips, man.
The mask situation is ideal for this climate.
It's
too,
beneficial.
Yeah. You keep your face. You're keeping out the pandemic, but and keeping it away, like out and in. You're keeping it out and in.
Well, that's
no, wait,
why
you're
I
keeping
can't,
it out. Whatever I'm, it is, you're doing both.
You're doing
and then
both.
You're also keeping your face warm. Your face is warmer because you have to wear a mask all the time. So,
I love having a mask in my pocket in this weather. And you know what? It's this weather for realistically like 7, sometimes 8 months of the year here.
What are you doing to me? I feel like I just got here, and you're telling me how bad it is all the time. And I guess I knew that from my last year here, actually. So, are you telling me to go back? Should I go back? Should we leave? I can't decide what to do now at this point.
I don't know. I wouldn't leave. I mean, it's a weird. I mean, obviously, it's like a time of opportunity, always, if you want to spin it that way. But I feel like, yeah, with everything sort of being kicked out from under us, Alberta specifically, hopefully people are more open to change now and alternative energy, and there's people doing
great
stuff
here. I can't tell if they are. I don't see that's happening, because at the leadership level, that's not being embraced. Again, we're getting a little political, and I didn't want to, but at the same time, we're in a very strange... We're in the most American of the provinces, I would say, somehow, and it's weird. Of the Canadian provinces, I mean. Like, it feels very American, and that's also weird, because I was very kind of obsessed.
Well, but wait. Hold on a second. Because, okay. Like... I mean, to me, like, American is, like, beautiful, you know? Like, America's awesome. I mean, I know America, it's, like, turmoil, but, like, some of the most beautiful people I know come from America.
Yes,
and, you know, like, think about, like, Kurt Vonnegut, Noam Chomsky, like, people like that, like, that are, I don't know, like, even just my friends that I have over there, it's, like, being American is also like being like a Seattle like person, or being like a LA person, or it doesn't always have to be that.
You're talking about Kim Thayil again, aren't you? You're
I'm
always
talking
just
about Thayil. I'm always wanting to bring it back to just like ripping.
You know who I met him. I met him in Toronto a couple of years ago, and we posed for a photo together.
Oh, and, dude, I saw him playing for the MC5.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I saw in Toronto. I saw it in Toronto, yeah. With Brendan Canty from Fugazi on drums and Wayne Kramer.
And what's the huge monster man from Zen Gorilla, Seattle Zen Gorilla.
No, it's
San Francisco Zen Gorilla. Monster man, he's like 6'10" or something. He's huge.
Yeah, so it was quite a superstar ensemble, and I saw that. And Kim Thayil is cool. He was very nice. And
yeah, of course.
When
man.
He saw me, Brendan introduced us, and he looked at me, Kim Thayil. He said, "Are you by chance Indian?" And I said, "I said I am." And then we bonded, and because I assume like me in his indie rock or rock travels, we stick out like a piece of roti. In the backstage, you know, right? Like, he just saw me, and we instantly, I think, bonded quietly. And so,
I thought he was just like a white guy with a sick tan. I was like,
No,
he's Indian.
As I recall, that's what he was implying that day. Maybe he's some combination of different things, as we all are, really, molecules.
That's true,
and other stuff. But he did ask me, so I didn't go into it too much with him, but I believe that is true. Yeah, I have to. I don't want to Wikipedia him during this interview, but I believe that's the case.
So. Oh yeah, he's Indian for sure.
Yeah. Fail? Okay. Good. I'm glad that took a little convincing. I just said it, and you were totally like, yeah.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I don't know what he is. He's a sick guitar player. I'll tell you that much. Soundgarden.
Yeah. No. He was good. They're having a bit of a legal issue at the moment with the stuff there. I know they're in the news, but I wish Kim Thayil well, and that's what I'll say about that. Speaking of gardens and Soundgardens, your album is called World's Most Stressed Out Soundgardener.
Yes.
No, that's not quite accurate.
That's so much better.
That would have been a little bit better. You got World's Most Stressed Out Gardener, and I thought of this I was just thinking about the fact that you called your record this, given our sort of, Edmonton, or rather Alberta elements discussion.
Oh, that's why, man. That's why.
It's hard to be a gardener in Alberta because of the weather. Is that right?
It really is, man. It really is. It's, it's not, and you know what? My grandma would be laughing at me right now, just laughing and pointing because I don't even know, but you can do it. It's just like a lot. I have a lot of family out at the West Coast, and I go out there, and they're just like, man, we had to cut the tomatoes back because they were just taking over. I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me, man? Like, I spent like $200 of cash and like thousands of dollars of like physical time raising 100 cherry tomatoes, like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
it's intense.
And the window of opportunity for them to flourish is so short or small.
It is.
You got to get at them. Like my father-in-law has a garden. So we went over there just before the winter came to, grab carrots and things. And, he was like, it seems to me like, unlike Ontario or our experience, you just never know what's going to happen
here. Yeah.
Like you go and you do the harvest and you're like, well, let's see what happens. And you're either pleasantly surprised or
devastated.
Or I guess, well, you're not. What I was going to say is, I don't even know I think you're expecting the worst when you have a garden in Alberta, maybe. So you're not even, if it's good, you're like, what? Oh, wow, this is great. And if it's bad, you're like, yeah, that's about right. We live in Alberta with the UCP. And so you're not expecting a full crop. Is that fair?
That is totally fair. I'm watching a bald eagle like soar, hover out my window right now. Over the river.
Seriously?
He just swooped right in. Yeah.
Is that unusual? Is that an unusual sight?
There are a lot of eagles in the river valley now, but this guy is just like chilling out right now.
I was
waiting for a mouse. I don't know.
A mouse. I think they need to eat stuff that's bigger than a mouse, Chad.
He's probably waiting for a human baby.
I'm not going to touch that. But what I was just reading a book about, it's called A Short History of the Blockade by Leanne Batasimisak Simpson. And in the book, she mentions that per capita, Edmonton has a huge, huge beaver population. And I can't remember the stats, but it was something like Edmonton might have like 1,600 beavers, whereas Calgary might have like 100, 200 or something like that. Very few beavers. But you've got bald eagles. So, because that's the other thing I thought of. You mentioned the Rocky Mountains. By the way, do you ever get sick of the Rocky Mountains? Because when people are like, you got to move there because of the mountains, I'm like, well, at some point, I'm just going to be like, yeah, those are the mountains again. What is it, a thrill every time you see a mountain?
Oh, yeah, I would say so. Well, just being like, I don't know. I mean, technically, we're in the foothills, prairies zone, but I'm on the west end of the city, Montgomery, Bowness zone. So we do spend a lot of time out in the mountains. And yeah, like, and whenever I see mountains anywhere, it feels like, to me, I just kind of breathe a sigh of relief because no one's there. And when you're in the mountains, no one's going to mess with you. You're out there for a reason. You're out there just to like enjoy the nature. And it's special, man. It's like, I don't know.
Don't you think you think there's no one up in the mountains? Like you were just talking about a mountain man a few moments ago. I'm thinking of the Neil Young song "Revolution Blues," where the Manson family comes down from the mountain. I feel like there are people in the mountains.
No, but there's no. Those are like hot mountains. Those are like Catskills Smoky
California
Mountains or something.
Yeah,
that's like people. There's like inhabitants, like Rocky Mountains. You can't. No, man. There's no one out there. There's no one. I mean, I bet you there is.
I bet you there is someone out there because of how weird everyone is now. I bet there's someone being like, you know, how far off the grid am I? And, you know, out from under the government's thumb, I live in a cave in the Rocky Mountains. I'm sure there's someone like that.
I feel like Calgary made a huge mistake. One of our old mountains, Eksha, or I guess I don't know if it was a mountain. It was kind of like it was a mountain, is where we get all our concrete. And from, you know, as a kid, it was like a mountain, like right when you're driving into the, and it's towards Banff, around that corner and there's Eksha. And then they've slowly been whittling the top of that mountain away to make concrete to build Calgary.
Right.
And surrounding areas. And I'm like, you know how cool it would be just to take one of the mountains and put everyone inside it and make everyone's window like a beautiful pattern on the outside of the mountain, like maybe like a nice diamond matrix of like glowing windows from the inside. And then we all live within the mountain and our plumbing is all in there. And there's probably fucking weird, like, crystals and shit inside of there that we're probably would be getting great energy. And it's already a fucking mountain, you idiots. You don't need to build your stupid shit. Just use the, like, what's more burly than a mountain? Just live in the fucking mountain and it would be badass. Like, where do you live? Oh, I live in, you know, block 101 in mm-hmm. one of the three in the middle sister. Like,
Yeah.
People have cave bad apartment. Ideas, man. It's just
cave apartment 23. That's where you can find me. Yeah, buzz up. I'll let you in.
Totally.
We were talking about animals for a moment there, and we're talking about mountain people. I feel like this is a good segue. When I first moved to our house here in Edmonton, within a couple months, in the neighborhood there was a coyote alert.
Oh my god! Like, yeah,
I was like, what? Coyote alert? That's not used to that either. Wildlife in Alberta, you know, living so close to the hills, the mountains, I assume, filled with bears and coyotes and scary things that are, as the climate gets worse, they're going to, you know, less food sources, they're going to start to head down, come into town a little bit more, you know, all these things. Is that the case? Does Calgary have, like, weird animal
face to face with a coyote yesterday with it says we live right on the edge of the river valley, so there's tons of coyotes walking through our...
Is that unsettling? Is that scary?
No, it was that. No, it's. I mean, coyotes are great. It's like a blessing. I mean, it's not. It's probably not a blessing for them, but you know, it's nice for me. Like we got to me and my friend John were out. We have these like snow skates that I think were popular in like the early 2000s. But I just got one off Kijiji, and I take it into the river valley, and there's
snow
a lot
skates?
Of. Snow skates. It's like a mini. It's like a skateboard with like a mono ski on the bottom of it. And so I just, it's tiny. It's the size of just a normal skateboard. So I just carry it with me wherever. And then when I go on a dog walk in the river valley, I can just bomb down like hills and there's a lot of there's a lot of fat bike paths that are like, thank you fat bikers for just making the perfect like snow skate pathways. Right. And it's like, for me as like an old man dad, it's a good way to get my like adrenaline up. And you know, I'm getting erections again now, proper erections. And
I was gonna ask about that later, but I'm glad that came up now. Literally it came up now. All right, that's good.
But but we ran into a coyote like face to face, and he was just walking straight towards me, or she was walking straight towards me. And didn't care. And then I realized that I had an open bag of liver snacks for my dog in my pocket. And so I was probably leaving this glorious stink trail all throughout the, you know, I was like, man, how many of these guys? Because when you see one, you know, there's, you know, probably like three or four. Yeah.
See, I'm confused about what to think of the coyotes, because popular culture would have me believe they are idiots. That they, you know, they'll gather up a bunch of dynamite. Yeah, they'll gather up a bunch of dynamite and then they'll blow themselves up instead. And then you're like, oh, is that for me? It seems to have committed some sort of suicide mission. It's like a kamikaze coyote. I don't understand. But then yesterday, just as we're speaking, last night I was scrolling through the most popular news stories on the New York Times application, and one of them said the headline was DNA indicates all attacks from the same coyote. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
There was a photo of a coyote walking down like a suburban street. And the story implied, I didn't read it because I was trying to go to sleep and not have coyote nightmares.
Right.
But the story implied that three different people were attacked by a coyote, and they determined it was the same coyote. So this coyote is smarter than the one I was alluding to earlier that doesn't know how to do anything.
Right.
So I'm conflicted. And then, like I said, in my neighborhood, coyote alert suggests it wasn't commonplace that the coyotes were just roaming around the local high school here. Now I'm like, what am I supposed to do with the... I don't have a dog or anything, so I don't know if that...
A coyote would never mess with you, man. You're like, what are you, like 6'3", 6'4"?
You're 6'2".
You're a big guy. If a coyote's coming at you, you just raise your hands above your head and like yell at it, scream at it. Just be like, fuck no! You want to fuck with this? And you start like kicking debris on the ground and sort of freaking out and click your teeth at it. You got teeth?
This is just like what I do with my son. So yeah, I think it's the same exact behavior. I just react in that way, and it should be fine. Okay, I have teeth. Just
I feel
to
like it's like
question.
It. I think it's a lucky sign to see a coyote, and you know, contrary to how they've been depicted in popular culture, coyotes are super smart, and they're beautiful creatures, man. Like it's a shame that they come into our neighborhoods because of the garbage, and they're obviously they're scavengers as well as being like awesome like mouse hunters.
Do they like rabbits? Because the rabbits here are the size of a dog. I've never seen rabbits like this. They're wild rabbits.
The hares,
in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Are they hares? Are they actually hares?
They're hares, yeah. And then there's the little you probably see like the bunnies around like the university and stuff like that, like the domestic bunnies. You guys probably have those there as well.
What are they? Do they get free and they're just roaming around campus?
Yeah.
Looking for friends?
Yeah. Those are like PetSmart bunnies that have been they do really well in Alberta.
Okay, so the things I'm seeing that are like little dogs, those are the hares. Okay.
Yeah, the ones that look scared all the time with the big bug eyes.
Yes. Actually the ones here, those hares are pretty smart because in my house there are vents to release heat, steam, you know, and sometimes when I'm if on the rare occasions where I go outside nowadays, there's a hare, I guess. I thought it was a rabbit. There's a hare nestled beneath the vent.
Oh, that's
very smart.
That's sweet.
Keeping warm. Yeah, so it's very nice. We like them. My daughter has named one of the hares, or presumably it's the same one, Hoppy. So we always keep an eye out for Hoppy, and we see Hoppy sometimes.
That is
so
very sweet.
So the wildlife, it's nice. The wildlife, but except the rabbits with you and the gardening. Do they eat? Do the rabbits eat your stuff?
Oh, fuck. You don't even understand my setup in my garden now. Is like everything is fucking caged. I go down to the river. I pull out as much driftwood and like beaver hewn. I wait for like the sweet pieces, man. I wait for the sweet pieces where I'm just like, yep, that's perfect for like a little cage. And then I drag it up and then I screw it all together. And then I put chicken wire over it, and I have my own sections where I'm like, I take everything from my greenhouse that I've started, I put it in my garden, and then I immediately I cage it. Squirrels are the worst, man. Squirrels and beets. And then I have a bunch of sparrows.
Squirrels like beets? They love beets?
Squirrels will eat, like, well, the squirrels in my neighborhood will come down and they'll eat the tops around the beets, and they'll kill the green, so it can't obviously grow properly anymore. And then I have swallows that live in the soffits of my studio that I just have let live there for years because it sounds sweet.
Are they on the record? Are they on this record? I hear bird sounds sometimes.
I have a little like in extension in my studio, and they live in there and make all sorts of sound. And it's like, it's nice. I was building my greenhouse and I realized that they were living in there. I don't know, man, they're probably wrecking.
So you're trying to coexist, but at the same time, you're creating some sort of maximum security prison for your garden.
It sounds like to me like
the garden is what you're trying to keep captive, not the animals.
It's true. Well, I have to keep it captive for the first, you know, 2 months, I'm going to say, realistically, because then the sparrows will come and eat the the tops of like all the lettuces. They love the sweet, like the red lettuce, and they don't mess with arugula. They don't mess with horseradish. Horseradish is a legendary Alberta crop, man. Horseradish.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know if you do you like horseradish. Do you like?
I do like horseradish. I do. I have a bit of like spice. As an Indian, I'm kind of an Uncle Raj when it comes to spices.
Okay.
Like I'm not. I'm an Indian, but I'm like, that's enough. Dial it back a little bit with the spices. I can't handle it, but I have like acid issues, so I can't take too much spices. It impacts me in a negative way. But we actually.
It bums out your acid trips. You can't.
It's like, exactly. Yeah. It's a bad trip. That's exactly correct. Yes. So, but yeah, I like it. I do. We had, my wife and I decided finally. I've said, like, because I don't know about you, Chad, but I used to like going out to eat to restaurants and things.
Oh, man.
And but I haven't been to any place since March, really, of 2020, I think, maybe February even. And so we've been cooking a lot. And the one thing I've said, because I've never tried to make it before, and some people are going to think I'm very pedestrian for admitting this, I guess, but we've never tried to really make elaborate sushi, my wife and I. We've just never tried it, but we did the other day. And it turned out, form-wise, it wasn't the best. Like, it's a technique that you have to... We read nothing. We watched nothing. We just were like, we had all the implements, and we tried to make sushi, you know? And then we did it, and it tasted great.
Yeah.
But it didn't stay together, and so some form stuff going on there. But anyway, she had bought some store-bought wasabi that came in, like, a little toothpaste.
Yeah, I know thing. The kinds, yeah.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I put a generous helping on each of our plates. It was the hottest wasabi I've ever had, and I don't, you know, I go to sushi restaurants. I used to go to sushi restaurants all the time, and I have a little wasabi. As I mentioned earlier, I know my limitations, so I don't go whole hog, but I have some. This, like, burned, like, it sent fire to my nose.
Whoa.
Like, my sinuses caught fire, and, like, a wave of heat entered my face. In a way that I can't even explain other than to say that. And it was just some stupid, you know, Safeway wasabi. And so I felt very pathetic. But all this to say, yeah, I like horseradish.
I love the horseradish.
In doses. Yeah,
that's like my main... I love making mason jars full of horseradish. And just that's what I do. I do like a spoonful of horseradish, fresh horseradish. Just if I'm feeling anything like weird, like in my throat, or I feel like a cold coming on at all, I just do like a spoonful of horseradish, and it seems to like kill it, just because it does send that heat wave into like up. I feel it like it goes high up into your head. Like
it
you're
does
feeling
go
it
up
in your forehead.
Heat, the heat, that's right. The heat rises. I've heard that from firefighters, but it's true of wasabi as well. The heat goes right up. It doesn't go down. It goes up. It's very interesting in that regard. It's true. So you're saying horseradish in Alberta, that's a specific sort of...
Well, it just
grows...
It's
not a delicacy, but people really like it?
Well, it just grows well here. Like rhubarb, horseradish, like I think... I'm not 100% sure that they're native to Alberta, but I'm pretty sure. Like you'll find horseradish just growing in...
just anywhere.
It grows huge, right? Like, and like rhubarb in Alberta, man, like what has a tropical leaf that's like the size of... I don't even know what, man. They're huge. Like that, you get a rhubarb leaf that's like 2 meters in diameter. Sometimes it's awesome.
Is that a soil thing? Maybe just like the way the soil is here, or something that the rhubarb.
Yeah, like it loves the clay. We got a lot of clay.
Is that true? Like I'm just making stuff up. I don't know enough about any of this stuff. But why would there be? And also, I want to say again the horseradish thing. What is with this place and horses? You have a stadium in your city that is shaped like a saddle of that you would put on. Ideally, you would put on a horse, maybe another animal. And then now you're talking about horseradish. What is the horsey? Do you like horses? Are you a horse fan? Because I'm a horse fan.
I'm a huge horse fan.
Like
my whole family rides horses. So,
oh, there you go.
We go out twice a week to a place called Eagle Feather Ranch, and they
twice a week,
yeah, and take care of these. It's a sort of horse collective where they rescue. They've got about 120-ish horses out there, and they most of them are just rescues, all male horses. And my daughters teach people how to ride out there, and my wife.
Your daughter's teaching. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and they started about 3 years ago, and like a relationship with humans and horses is like deep, like a dog, like humans and dogs. It's like
absolutely, yeah.
There's a part of our brain where we're like, horses got us here, and so I feel like we've devoted like a part of that. So they're, you know, it's also insanely relaxing and a good way to get your brain to land the needle on life and just focus, because when you're with a horse, it's hard not to be with the horse. So it's nice to just feel that creature. And like, what other creature just lands on the ground out of the vagina, starts eating the grass it lands on, and then it just grows into that beast just off that one ingredient? Like, hey, I'm just going to grow into a muscle beast off this grass. Don't mind me. And then they just grow into these glorious, beautiful creatures. I don't know, man. A horse, hanging out with a horse is new perspective, because they definitely teach you how to chill the fuck out. That's awesome.
Yeah, I agree, actually. The time I have, and I'm not joking, I've spent some time with horses, particularly my relatives here have like a horse farm, I guess, or a farm with horses. I don't know if it's actually, well, no, they have a bunch of horses. So, and they do the kind of rodeo type stuff as well and all that stuff. And you're right. The children, my kids love it. They love riding the horses on the farm. And you're right. It's calming. I never really thought of it in those terms. But when I think about it now that you've said it, yes, very true. Very true. Okay. Well, you were talking about your garden there. And I was thinking about the video you made, or the videos you make, the animation videos, particularly this one for Samurai Sword, and all the things you do. Do you consider yourself, Chad, to be an inventor? Because people call you a musician and a video maker or an animation guy. But I feel like when you're talking about, when I've seen you create contraptions with your instrumentation that are very bizarre. I remember once at Massey Hall, you had a guitar with like a drumstick on the headstock.
Oh, and that was a bad idea. Julie Fader was like, she's like, take that fucking drumstick off your guitar's headstock, man. What the fuck?
But my point here is this. You seem to be, and even this record, I feel like from what I understand, and we can talk about it, first sound was the sound that appealed to you. Like the first thought was the thought that we're hearing mostly on this record. Is that right? Like you created instrumentation, you created things out of thin air, it seems, in some cases. Is that right?
Yeah. Like I like the idea of, I don't know, like I, to tell you the truth, like I don't even know anymore. Like I like the idea.
Are you bristling because I called you an inventor, and that sounds very highfalutin?
It's pretty highfalutin. I don't know if I'm an inventor, just because I know like crazy awesome inventors, and I'm more of like a garbage collector. I love the idea, kind of like the start of the video with the Thrift Drifters and that shop. I feel like I love garbage, and I love seeing garbage. Or I love seeing something that's broken and then being like, oh man, I saw the exact piece of garbage like down the road that's going to like fix that. I love seeing like combinations of stuff and then
regeneration.
Like, yeah. And even with, like I know Samurai Sword starts with, a bunch of this old copper pipe that I ripped out of my house and just that literally they just fell out of my arms. And I was like, man, these copper pipes sound really good. And then, put them on some styrofoam that was literally just garbage in my back alley. And the combination of those two pieces of garbage suddenly are now making vibrations in the universe where they would just be laying dead in a landfill. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I love the idea of just vibrations bringing happiness and like, just like sort of seeing beyond piles of junk. And I like that aesthetic too. My wife does not like that aesthetic, like garbage aesthetic, but I love stuff that's like, I love folk art. I'm like a folk artist, and I love that. I love the idea of the folk artist and the idea of it just being open to everybody, and it's not pretentious and it's not polished and, you know, frayed edge and all. Fucking awesome. Like, sign me up.
But is it, just put us in the position that your wife must be in when you're when you say, hey, you want to go for a drive? Does she have like terror in her eyes because she knows
I'm
going to
bring
home Hey, whoa, stop the car. Stop the car. I saw something. Oh, Jesus, here we go.
Most definitely. Yeah. I mean, now with my daughters, too, like, I'm throwing them into the bin because they're, like, lighter. And there's, like, so many teardowns. There's so many teardowns around here. Like, my whole extension off my studio is all dumpster diving, all the windows, everything. I just love that. And we live in Calgary is like the land of plenty for like teardowns. There's just like houses.
Oh, don't get me started. That's what this whole place is. For those who don't I think I've talked about this on the show before, but with other people to explain what's happening in Edmonton, but they're basically called infills.
Yeah.
And what the developers do is they see, 100-year-old house on like a 50-foot lot and they convince the people to get rid of their house. And then they tear that beautiful old house down, and then they put, instead of putting up a similarly sized house, they put up two houses. They subdivide the lot in two, and they put up these two tiny, or rather skinny, they look kind of like arty, they look a little artsy, some of these. They're all misshapen and hip, but they're basically like these condos,
like vampires, would like be interested. You know, like hipster vampires. Yeah. You're just like
hipster vampires.
Yeah. Like black slate and like a little bit of like fake wood on the trim. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So they do that all the time. And but at the same time, I don't know about Calgary, but like to your earlier point, people tend to leave here more than they move here. Mm-hmm. So the market is really strange. But to your main point, lots to recycle. Lots of material to obtain, garbage is being created by these, lots of waste is being created by these new builds, these infills. So for you, a chronic recycler, and by the way, I don't use these terms disparagingly, I find it fascinating, and I really appreciate your attitude. Like this copper pipe, this styrofoam is otherwise, if I don't do something with this, it's going to be on the curb, and then it's going to get taken somewhere else, and it's done. You have given it a new life, and you've also saved someone trying to replicate this and selling it at a music store, like going through the, you know what I mean? I don't know how to put it, but like you're creating stuff out of thin air, and that's when I say you're an inventor. I think that's what inventors do. They see the potential in an idea, and then they bring it to fruition out of the materials at hand. And I understand you don't want to put yourself in the same rarefied space as a inventor, but honestly, Chad, every time you do something, I think this isn't the first time you've done stuff like this, right? Found sound,
I used to build a lot more instruments, like just sort of like acoustic instruments, like harps and stuff like that. That kind of got me into it. Clarinets, I used to build like clarinets out of garbage as well. But it is like when you look at the materials that we have around us, it's actually like it's really high quality material, like, you know what I mean? Like there'll be, you know, just the other day I found a bunch of PVC pipe, like huge, I don't know, like 3/4 of a foot in diameter, like sewage pipe. And even just stuff like that that you can you pay like hundreds of dollars for that stuff. And so I'm gonna dig a trench off of my house to put my cold air intake, because a weird thing about Alberta too is, like, you know, a lot of houses are forced air. And so you're pulling in air that's like minus 30 in the winter and then forcing it through your furnace to turn that into like 20 degrees air. Like, it's fucking hardcore, man.
Oh, man. I had a panic attack because all my windows had ice at the bottom on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know this. I mean, I didn't really experience this. Our old house.
Yeah.
I can't remember if you ever visited our old house in Guelph, but it was like built, it was actually, speaking of horses, it was built in like the 19th century as a horse stable. And then they turned it into on like farmland. And literally, like when we had our bathroom.
So you guys were like pooping on the floor and just like, you know, like doing whatever. No. Fucking horse stable. Yeah, you know, kids, go have at her.
It didn't,
it's fine.
Didn't turn us into horse people. We just happened to be people who lived in an old horse house. But anyway, yeah, because of the humidity, I was so confused. I'm like, why is there ice? What is wrong? Because we had some issues when we moved into our house. It is also...
Oh, yeah, I custom, remember that, right.
Yeah, yeah. Stucco and all
there's
this stuff.
Cracks.
Anyway, and
it
I was like, what else is wrong with it? Well, I mean, we thought, like, unlike Ontario, where you have to overbid on anything you look at by tens of thousands of dollars to even have a chance of being considered.
Right.
I distinctly remember, I think I talked to you about this once already, but when I talked to the realtor when I was still in Guelph and I talked to the realtor here about looking at stuff, I was looking at a house. And I said, okay, well, this they want, you know, 590, so I guess we have to bid, what, 610, 620 or something to get it? And he's like, no, like 510. I was like, what? He's like, no, it's the opposite. This market is dead. And right. Like, I was like, oh, like in Ontario, that's not even, you can't do that. And anyway, so we got this place and it had some issues and we underbid on it and we got it, but then we ended up spending as much as they were asking in the first place because, anyway, this is a whole legal issue that I have to maybe still figure out and I haven't done anything about it yet. And that's just between you and me. No one else is hearing this part.
Right.
Anyway, my point here is this. There was ice forming inside the house.
Yeah.
In most of the windows. Have you ever had that in Calgary?
Where
the
ice
is in
when
the
it gets, yeah, okay. Well, so it's like when the temperature... Yeah, you get moisture wicking on the inside because it's the same effect on the like a cold, you know, can of pop in the summertime when you bring it outside.
But it froze. My windows were inside the house and I read one thing that said, oh, that's really bad. And then I read another thing saying, I read a thing that said it's actually good. It shows that your windows are doing their job. But the main thing was I had to turn all the humidity down, which I hadn't done because this house has one of those... humidifiers.
Yeah.
And I just new stuff for me. There's always new stuff. Anyway, so it sounds like you identify problems. I identify problems and sometimes I think I better get someone in to help me.
But you see
a problem. No, I know it's okay. I don't feel badly about it because I'm like, there's certain things I learned how to do in life and I do well.
Right.
There's things I don't know. And this DIY thing is great on some level, but I also think sometimes we fix a thing ourselves. And then 3 months later, it goes bad again, and we're like, well, why didn't that work? Well, maybe because you know, someone with 20 years of experience didn't look at it. You did because you watched a YouTube video. And so I'm in that zone where I'm all for DIY and stuff like that and trying stuff, but I also know my limitations. And I feel like it's not a bad thing to ask someone with a lot of experience to come in and take a look at why, you know, all of a sudden something's not working. You know, I don't know enough about... Like, if you... Okay. Say your water heater started acting up, Chad. Would you take like an axe? Would you take like a blowtorch and an axe to it yourself? Or would you be like, you know what?
No.
I don't know enough about water heaters. No. I should call in the water heater person.
Well, and I think it's illegal. Anything with gas, like anything with like a line going to it, I don't mess with at all. I ask people to come in. If it's water, like if it's plumbing, I'm pretty okay with plumbing because I'm not saying that plumbing is simple or anything, but it's definitely not... anything with gas line stuff. I mean, I would love to be off of that completely. I would love to be like doing like geothermal or supplementing it in another way, like through solar or something like that. But as that price comes down, I'll definitely.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Definitely dip my toe into that and try and figure that out because I feel like that is the sort of Alberta excess of us depending on all of this oil and gas. And although I appreciate that like crazy, like don't get me wrong, like that's kept me warm every winter. I love these people that are, you know, doing their jobs out there and supplying this province with energy that we need. Cause I keep on saying it's hardcore in the winter, man. You need a way to keep warm or you'll die.
Yeah,
but it's too old of a technology. Like it's dirty. It's disgusting. Like I feel like I go to sleep every night like I've like raped my mother. You know, it's sad.
Whoa. Okay, I tuned out for a few moments there, and then you said that, and I was brought right back to it. Yeah, no, it is bad. And
it's bad. I just don't want to feel like that horrible of a creature anymore, and I feel like Alberta is one of those places where it's like really, it's really. I mean, and you know what? At the end of the day, the human world isn't, you know, what is making its own decisions, and it's not the be all and end all. Earth will be fine without us. I understand, but you know, while we're here, and as a parent, I just feel it's heavy, man. And I haven't flown over top of any of these. Out ponds or any of these trailing ponds that are, you know, like the devastation that's happening in the prairies. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure if I really wanted to feel more suicidal, I would do that. I'd take a helicopter ride over top of that and see like the real devastation. So obviously we need to figure it. And we got a lot of sun here. Like, you know, hook us all up with solar. Like, can those...
Seems like almost too much sun, doesn't it, some days?
Too much sun, man. Never too much sun. Just shine that. It's minus 30 and there's no sun here, I'm like... I don't want to be part of it. But if there's, give me that bright sun and I'll be outside and absorbing that, photosynthesizing. I like it. But, man, without the sun.
I stupidly set up my desk so that it's facing a window.
Thinking that would be
nice. Like a nice little backlight on my computer. And I'm just blind. I can't see anything. So I've got to in my little office thing here, I've got the drapes and I got double drapes. Like I got a blind and then drapes now because I'm like, I am seeing spots all the time and I can't concentrate and this is bad. What am I doing? And the sun, sometimes I'm like, well, the sun's a certain position. That should be fine. But then it hits like the glass of a car parked on my street and then it beams right into laser beams into my eye. And I'm sure I've damaged some stuff going on there. Anyway, all this to say, is this pensiveness that I'm sensing within you, rightly, that we all have, I guess, these days.
Right.
Does it infiltrate this particular record?
Always, for sure.
It feels that way to me.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. This record is a weird one. This record was really hard. I have another record coming out shortly after this one that's a little bit more like even keel. But yeah, this one was, there's like, yeah, of course, it's stressful being a modern human and, you know, having to reconcile with your kids asking you questions and just even what you do on a daily basis and so much information. Like, you know, it's just every day there's a new reason to feel ashamed about your lifestyle and that's good. Like, everybody, it's just a lot at once, and there's, you know, there's a, as we progress, there's more to do and there's more to do, and I feel like myself, I've just sort of gotten used to this sort of luxury of life, and just feeling like, at the top of the food chain, it can get pretty cushy, and so I don't know. I don't really know what to do. I would hope that just seeing it for what it is and seeing garbage and trying to make my life as a folk artist is the best thing I can do. But there's people around me that are definitely real life superheroes that I'm sort of have raised the bar. my wife being one of those people that I'm just like, okay. There's like a real impact.
I feel the same about my wife it is interesting to be a human being dealing with the various calamities we're facing, but then to also be a parent is fascinating.
Yeah.
And strange because on the one hand it's something that gives you hope.
Yeah, for sure.
My perspective is like being a parent gives me a lot of hope, but then at the same time it fills me with a little bit of dread. About where my kids are going to be in.
Yeah, and
where the earth
doing,
is going to be for my kids.
Yeah.
So there, it's sort of weird to, and I feel that like even when you feel like a song like Golden Pear. It kind of, that's where I just sort of staring at your family. Not in a creepy way, but just sort of observing.
It's a beautiful thing. Like, it's look at these people. Like, I want you to have kids. Like, I want people. Like, I mean, I don't know. I consider myself to be, and my family to be like good people. And so, yeah, you get a lot of inspiration from that. And you're like, you know what? Sit down, cut a few pieces of paper up, make some fucking Valentines. You know, send them to people. Whistle a few notes. Like, sing a couple songs. I don't know. What else is there to do, really?
Yeah, I think in this time has put all of us in the same sort of position that way. Like, what else is there to do? You know, you got to make the most of your days, and for some of us that's harder. Some of us, it's, I don't know. I mean, I hate to say it, but I feel in some ways pretty good. Like, you know, I don't mind. Being able to mostly focus on work. It's problematic. And I don't know if you have this, where if you don't work, you feel a little unfulfilled if you haven't accomplished something.
Oh, it's weird. It's like a relentless demon in my mind where it's like, are you making use of it? Are you actually making use of it? Like, you're lucky to have this fucking time. Are you just being a shithead and like staring at the clouds? And then at the same time, I'm like, well, but wasn't the Industrial Revolution so that we could look at the clouds like a little bit longer? And then I get, you know, and then I get horrified at even that thought, and then, you know, it's this like relentless cycle of, but it's like self-absorbed as well. Like, I'm also an animal. Like, I'm a natural creature, and I need to be with those other animals, and I need to feel like kinship. And so I just feel like, you know, like, go whittle your stick and touch a tree and drag your hand through the snow. It's awesome. It's for us. It's not by us, but it's like, we're meant to inhabit that negative space that it leaves for us. And so it's awesome. Like, I just need to feel that. And it's like, you know, there's that relentless sort of struggle of humans and not knowing why we're here and trying to figure out why we're here. And I don't even know, man. I don't even know anymore, you know?
I appreciate it. It's a lot to grapple with, but I do feel like the kind of dynamic shifts. Like, this is a weird record, like you said, but like, the song-based stuff is really song-based, and the stuff that's a little more abstract is not. And that's, I feel like that's what the days are like now. There's form, there's abstraction. And so, like, I feel like this captures, in a weird way, this record is really something you could listen to and feel like you're experiencing the arc of one of our pandemic days somehow. Like, there's calmness and surreal sounds, and then also things you can access relatively easily that feel familiar. Like, there's that, you're always good at this, I feel like. You capture familiar things, but you make them alien. And, you know, like, what planet is this from? But at the same time, it sounds like we would get along with the people from that planet. Like, that's what I think. I think you're an inventor.
I get along with people from other planets, man. Like, on that's like, if there's one thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I'm just like, time to get interstellar on this shit, because we're fucking floating around. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's not crazy. It's wild. It's like supernatural. It's insane. Like, we're looking for life on other planets. Like, fuck other planets, man. There's like crazy creatures, like that coyote the other day, like yawning and putting his ears back and walking towards me. And there's things that are trying to make connections with you here. And if it was up to me, I would have had it all be like flute on this record. You know what I mean?
But that's what the original idea, right? Was you're going to make like a flute record?
I wanted a flute record. I mean, there's like, but you know, the powers that be are just like, you know, right. There's some songs that were written, but you know, that's the vibe. Just put that put flute piece on repeat and just pretend like it's a flute record.
The record is fantastic. It is called World's Most Stressed Out Gardener, and we sort of talked about it, but it's fine. We talked about lots of stuff, and I appreciate this, Chad. So you mentioned a couple things I want to ask you. First, like, I don't know what... I assume you're not... There's no plans beyond putting the record out at this point, I assume. Are you going to be doing more... Or will we see more videos or some sort of live stream thing? I'm just wondering what you're going to do.
Yeah, I'm putting together like a live performance show, which isn't, I mean, none of those things are really live anymore. But I'm sort of like, as the songs come to me, I'm setting up iPads. I collect all of the iPads for my family, and then I put them in a room and I press play on them and try and one man band something that doesn't sound crazy or horrible. I eventually Ryan and Chris are going to come into the studio when it's safe, I guess. I don't even know how to do that type of thing. Like, how do you get bands in a room playing music? It just seems like I don't really want to jeopardize their bubbles of and families, and I don't know if it's... Anyways, I'm still trying to figure that out. So as it is right now, I'm playing sort of like Massey Hall styles, just one man band, foot drums, and I got a homemade drum machine, sort of drum robot, where I'm putting as much junk on this old record player, like back in the day, and bells and stuff. And I kind of love, like, it's getting like less technical, where I'm just sort of draping stuff over top of this like careening mess and hoping that the entropy of this disintegrating thing creates like a rhythmic pattern. But who knows, man? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So it's all stuff is that,
is
in the
works. Is it entertainment? I don't know. Would you pay money for it? Would you feel like it's money well spent? I hope so. But if not, you know, if not, fuck you. I mean, like, what have people been doing? All they've been doing is, you know, soaking in the unearthed gems of artists and for free off the internet.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, you know, I've watched how many skateboard videos have I watched for free? How many concerts have I, how much music have I absorbed off Spotify over this? I mean, it's been great for that. So I just feel like, whatever, man, I don't feel too bad about it. People can watch me flailing around. And to tell you the truth, I'd rather watch a train wreck at this point anyways. It's way more fascinating.
I think so. I think you're onto something there. And yeah, we have to figure out various things in the next little while, because I feel like this mode of operating is going to be here for quite some time.
Yeah.
Depressingly, I suppose. But I hope, like you say, again, who better to potentially invent new ways of presenting and consuming content than Chad Van Galen, the inventor. That's what I was going to say there, and it came out sort of eloquent. Now, if people want to follow you, are you engaged with any of your various social media platforms? You're not involved with your Facebook or your Twitter.
If people want to engage with me, they can just go out into the nature and just scream my name. Or don't scream my name. That's a horrible name to scream. Just go out and no, just don't.
But you've got chadvangalen.com, I guess. That's one place people can go.
Are you serious? No, there's no chadvangalen.com.
Hang on, I have it in front of me. I'm clicking on it. Let's see what happens.
No.
Chadvangalen.com, Samurai Sword official video.
Wow.
No upcoming tour dates, and then very kindly below it, there's a button that says request a show. So I guess
wow.
I guess people can just ask you to play, and that's all it says. I don't know who made this.
I don't think that's a real thing.
There's nothing.
I'd go to the Flemish Eye website. The Flemish Eye or the Sub Pop website will probably direct you. Chadvangalen.com might be a thing from, I don't know, maybe it is a thing. Who knows? I don't want to say
It's got your new video up, so someone is trying to keep it updated. Yeah, but there's nothing else on it.
Okay.
Yeah, the record's out on Sub Pop and Flemish Eye, and I guess if people order it, what does it say here? LPs purchased through Flemish Eye in Canada and Sub Pop elsewhere and select independent retailers in North America and the UK and in Europe will receive the album on orange gold vinyl with blue-red trails while supplies last. There is also
a
new t-shirt design available.
Yep.
So I don't normally read out promotional material on the show, but I just wanted to get it right. And I'm actually clicking on pre-order right now.
It's the garbage. We made them use the garbage from off the floor, like all the off cuts from the vinyls. It's a garbage vinyl of all of the unused scraps.
Okay. Well, I've just hang on.
So it's gonna sound it's gonna sound really good on your turntable. It's gonna wreck your needle like immediately. It's like there's like pubic hair and all sorts of fingernails and.
Why are you doing this to me? I just put it in my cart. I'm just going to add this Eve Jarvis record.
You put it in your cart, man. You put it right in your cart.
How come his is 22 and yours is 20? I'm going to have to ask the Flemish Eye people.
Who is
about
this?
What is Eve Jarvis? I'm at FlemishEye.com. He is worth $2 more than you.
Oh, because his is like his isn't dirty vinyl. You're buying garbage from me. You're buying like mint stuff off Jarvis, man. Like that record's gonna be smooth.
I've got them in my cart here, and I'm gonna order them so I can get the garbage vinyl.
Man, I would have just given you one.
No, it's fine. We can't ever see each other again. That's the way things are gonna go.
Jeez. So. We can see each other outside. We can party outside.
I do. My plan is to get me and my family to compose enough songs that we have to come to your house and record them. That's my goal, like a rap record. Maybe. Okay. Or like, I don't know what it would be, but that's my plan because I have a little music room set up now in the house, which I haven't had the ability to do in like 20 years. And it's fun. I just go play drums whenever I feel like playing drums and they're set up. I don't have to, they're not, you know, tucked away in boxes or in a corner, and it's fun.
It's
so I'm trying to make the most, you know, most of all of this situation. Like, this situation is so bad, but I'm trying to find the silver linings, and that to me is one of them. We just, my son's piano teacher is the same one he had in Guelph, and they're doing it virtually
right,
because she has to do most of her lessons virtually, because when I first left, I'm like, would you consider, when we left Guelph, you know, December 2019, I said, would you consider virtual lessons, because he likes you and you like him, and, you know, we, I also thought, you know, obviously we'll try to find someone in Edmonton, but then she was like, oh, I've never done that before, but maybe. And then we moved, and now everyone has to do stuff like that.
So no sweat. Yeah.
Yeah. So they reconnected, and it's working out great. So, and he hates it. He hates me for making him take, I'm not making him. I just was like, you like piano, why don't you try it? And then, you know, they like it, and then they don't like it, and then they really don't like it, and then you feel like a heel. But I'm like, well, you've already put this time into doing this thing. Why would you just give it up all of a sudden? And then he 180'd and said, I like it again. So I'm very confused.
Oh, yeah, and that thing sticks to you. You know, that. I mean, I would have loved to have, like, stuck with any of that. I had a pretty bad experience, like, learning piano as a child. Like, my grandma's like, oh, you go, I know Beth two doors up, we'll teach you piano, and she was incontinent, and she'd get off the piano bench and there'd be like a warm, like, hot spot that I'd be sitting. It was like, it was nuts, man. And I think I lasted about like five lessons, and I was just like, I told my mom, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, there's like a stuffed porcupine in the corner staring at me.
Well, that's just different. They like each other. He likes her. This sounds
way more like awesome.
Yeah, he's doing good, and he's better at stuff than I am now, because I don't have any of that training. I just bang it out, do my best, and he can find things on the keyboard and pick out notes now, and I'm like, see, this is great. This is going to serve you well later if you decide to come back to it, because most of the musicians like you that I talk to say, oh, I took piano and then I hated it.
Yeah, and it sticks with
me. And so
you.
I quit, and then now I'm back at it and just playing for fun. And there's a quasi regret that they didn't stick with it, but they also, like you said, they drew on their memories and muscle memory, and it's there for them. And that's all you just want your kids at this age, I think, hopefully, you want them to have a fighting chance at some point in their lives to be able to do whatever they want. And if you can kind of, you know, gently. Yeah. Subliminally inseminate little bits of information in their brains. You hope maybe it'll pay off someday, even if they never play again. You know, they just have that skill set. And so it's, anyway, now we're getting into
that practical skill set of being able to arrive at the folk fest and do one of those jamborees that they always put you in, or what are those things called?
The workshops.
Yeah. They'll be able to workshop it.
They'll be able to play with anyone, exactly. But really, they're gonna. Who am I kidding? They're gonna end up being gamers. That's just the path they're on, and they love gaming.
Yeah,
and,
I hope that's the path. I mean, if there's anything left, I hope they're not just like, you know, like struggling through gutting a like mercury filled fish out of the river, finding it.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's like, hey, Dad, I found a fish. It was actually dead in a big gulp. Like. Worked out perfect day, yay.
Thanks for the piano lessons. I'm gonna big gulp this fish.
I used my piano lessons on the fish.
All right, I want to go out on a song. I want us to leave each other, and I want to play a song for people from World's Most Stressed Out Gardener. Can you choose a song for people to hear, and if so, can you explain why?
Sure.
Why you chose it?
I'd go out on. I'd say flute piece, but it's pretty like short. I'd say like Earth from a Distance, I think, is the other instrumental track.
You always pick instrumentals.
I'm a sucker for the instrumental. If I could get away with it all the time, I would.
Okay.
But yeah, I just think anything. It's a peaceful mind track. I think people need some rest. You know.
Does it feature any invented or unconventional, I suppose, instrumentation?
I don't think so. It's mostly just like synth, and that's it. I don't even remember, man. I can't even remember that record. Okay. I hope it's okay. I hope that's the track that I'm thinking of. But if it's not, whatever. You get it. They understand.
I don't know off the top of my head if that's the one either. But we're going to play it,
okay.
And we'll all discover it together. This is Earth from a Distance by Chad Van Galen from World's Most Stressed Out Gardener, which is available as of March 19th on Sub Pop Records and Flemish Eye Records in Canada, Sub Pop everywhere else, I think. And Chad, always a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope you enjoyed yourself, and I hope we speak again soon. Best of luck with everything in the future.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ah, very nice to have Chad Van Galen back on the show. Means a lot. Thanks, Chad, for appearing on this, the 602nd episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode that you've heard about and you're looking for it and it's not in the feed, like you signed up for, you know, you subscribe to the show on Apple or whatever you use, and you're like, hey, it will only go back to like 300 episodes. What about the first 300? What about the first time Chad Van Galen was on the show? How come I can't listen to that? Well, you can probably find that episode. I think you can. You definitely can. Let me walk that back. You can definitely find that episode that you've been looking for, but you can't find it on the way you've subscribed. You can find that. You can also learn more about me, and you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, all of it, at my website, vishkana.com. You can also like Creative Control on Facebook, I suppose. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Vish Creative. Or you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. Lots of stuff happening on... I'm very busy on the Instagram. I'm a little too busy. I might slow down a little. But anyway, Instagram and Twitter for me is at Vish Khanna. Go ahead and follow me. See what happens. Also, visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to sustain this podcast. A reminder, for those of you who don't know, $6 or more a month grants you access to exclusive audio content and possibly other content as well. And also, if you're interested in receiving a Creative Control t-shirt, please message me on Patreon once you've made your donation, and I will get you one while supplies last. Again, all of that information at patreon.com/creativecontrol. Thanks again to the fine Alberta record and CD retailer Blackbird Music, which you can learn more about and place special orders at blackbird.ca. That's BlackByrd.ca, blackbird.ca. Oh, also I want to thank live at MasseyHall.com, where you can watch beautifully captured concerts by great Canadian artists like Chad Van Galen. He's got a concert up there. So yeah, live at MasseyHall.com. Also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton for their in-kind support for this show. Excuse me. Also, thanks to Jim Guthrie. He loans me some music for this show, and he is a wonderful man. And you can learn more about him at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you for listening to this episode with Chad Van Galen, and for potentially subscribing to the podcast, telling your friends about the podcast and telling them they should listen to it maybe. And then you have like a pizza party on Zoom about the podcast episodes. You have a discussion group, and then somehow I'm involved. I get invited to the Zoom and I'm like, what kind of pizza are you having? And you're like, this is not your concern. We want to hector you about the show. Anyway, do all those things and everything will work out fine. Thanks again for listening. I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.